doing Tehillim, the 14th chapter. Lamnaseach leDavid, the conductor David composed the following praise and honor of God with prophecy. Amar naval belibo en Elokim. The derelict said in his heart, there is no God. There's no force running the show. There's no force to ensure justice in the world. I can do whatever I want. That's what he says to himself. Yeah, 14th chapter. Start you down it. Hishchitu, and with that thought, they have destroyed. Hit'ivu alila. They have plotted to do things that are despicable, that are terrible. Enofetov, and there are none in their midst that do good. Who's David speaking about? So we have to know that one of David's major projects, and possibly the major project on David's agenda, was to build a temple. David spent his life wanting to build the temple, wanting to get close to God, and one of David's greatest disappointments were when God told him, you will not build the temple. So David had laid the foundation, or according to one opinion, he built the Kotel HaMaravi. David had gotten everything ready, and David spent the rest of his life amassing money, amassing the gold and silver and all the material that his son would need so that his son could build the temple. And people would mock David. They'd say, oh, let's go to the temple. No, where's the temple? God didn't let him build the temple because he spilled blood. God didn't let him because he sinned. When David would walk by people and they'd want to mock him, one would ask the other, where are you going? Another would say, oh, I'm going to a temple. And then he'd say, don't you know, there is no temple. God didn't let David build it. That was their way of making fun of David. So David said, Samachti ve'omrim li bet Hashem nelech. I was happy when they used to say to me, jokingly, oh, I'm on my way to the temple. Ah, no, really, there is no temple. I was happy. David said, I didn't take it badly. Samachti ve'omrim li bet Hashem nelech. So here, when David speaks about a terrible person, who's he speaking about? He's speaking about the person who destroys the temple in Nebuchadnezzar. Hashem mishamayim hishkif al bnei adam. God looked down upon man from the heavens. Lirot hayesh maskil doreshet Elokim. To see among mankind, is there anyone who has seeked out wisdom, who is seeking out God? Hakol sar yachdav ne'elachu. Eino seitov. Everyone among Nebuchadnezzar's men, they've all left the way of Hashem. All of Nebuchadnezzar's men have turned to destruction. There are no people among them who are doing good. There isn't even one. David is lamenting not only the fact that Nebuchadnezzar could come and destroy a temple that was so miraculous and known throughout the world as the temple of God, he's lamenting the fact that there are none among his men who will stand up and do siruf pkuda, will refuse, will say, no, I will not take this order, I will not take part in destroying the temple. Not even one, says David, stood up and said, this is wrong. Halo yade'u kol po'al le'avim. Don't they know? And ultimately they will know. Those that do bad, ochlei amin, achelu lechem, the offsprings of Nebuchadnezzar were sitting making a feast. Hashem lo karau, they didn't value God. They were making a feast, and ultimately we know what happened in the middle of that feast. The Babylonian Empire was destroyed. Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, was making a feast. He said, let's take out the vessels from the temple. They took out the vessels from the temple. What were they rejoicing? They were rejoicing that they had just won a major battle against the Persian and Mede Empire. And that night, the Persian and Medes, as they were eating at that feast, a godly hand appeared and wrote on the wall. And no one could read the writing on the wall. And they called in all the wise men. They couldn't read the writing on the wall. And Belshazzar got all scared. And finally, he had been drinking wine like 1,000 men, but when he saw this writing on the wall, he didn't know what to do. Finally, they called him Daniel. And Daniel reads the writing on the wall, Minei Minei Tekelu Parsim, which we will, God willing, learn the book of Daniel. It's on the agenda. After we finish the book of Shmuel, we'll go over to Daniel as an introduction to Megillah Esther. So Daniel reads the writing on the wall, and he tells him, you have been weighed, Minei Minei, God took you into account, and he weighed you, and he found you lacking for the way you're behaving. You're taking out the godly vessels of the temple and you're mocking them, using them in your party, and you will lose and be overtaken by the Persian Empire. And that's what happened that night. Belshazzar was scared he would get killed that night. They made a decree that his guards, if they see any person walking around, they kill him. And he was lying in his room, worried, and finally he had to go to the bathroom, so he walked out of his room and they killed him. That's one version that we have. Another version is that one of his servants heard Daniel saying this, and he said, well, what's the best way to succeed here? If I want to be on the winning side, so he snuck in and he killed Belshazzar, and he walked over the enemy lines to the Persian Empire, and he told them, hey, their leader's dead, if you attack now, you'll win. And that night, the prophet prophesies about, and that's David is speaking about here in Tehillim, that those that do evil are sitting there feasting, they don't factor God in, and ultimately that night they will lose. That's the night that the Persian Empire overtook the Babylonian Empire, and the Babylonian Empire was destroyed. Sham pachadu fachad. Over there at that party, they all got scared. Why? Because the writing showed up on the wall. Ki Elokim bedor tzadik. Because God really is with the generation of tzadikim that were destroyed, the generation of Yechonia, near the period of the destruction of the temple. Atzat ani tavishu. You think that the pauper, his thoughts are disgraceful. The pauper is referring to the Jewish people. You're saying, what are you believing in God? He's left you. Don't you see? He let us overtake you. He let us destroy your temple. For years you were mocking them. But ultimately the one whose his protection is Hashem. Hashem is the protection of the pauper. Then the day will come near that Mitzion Yeshuat Yisrael, the salvation of the Jewish people will come out of Zion, and that's speaking about the future. Beshuv Hashem Shevut Amo, when God will return the Jewish people that have been exiled, and then Yagel Yaakov Yismach Yisrael, Jacob and Israel, the Jewish people, will rejoice at God's salvation. So David HaMelech began speaking about the derelict, speaking about Nebuchadnezzar, who dares to destroy the temple, and his men, none among them stand up to say this is wrong. No one refuses, they all partake of the destruction. And don't they know, these people who are feasting and mocking the vessels of the temple, don't they know that when they mock them, so then they will be fearful that God is really with the generation of tzaddikim. They're mocking the Jewish people, and really God is their protector, and that's why in the middle of that feast they will be scared, and ultimately from Zion will come out the salvation of the Jewish people. I merited to dorm when I was in Yeshiva by a man by the name of Rav Orzechovitz. He was a rabbi in Mir, and he once told me a beautiful Dvar Torah. Very often we would talk. Mir is a Haredi yeshiva. When I was in Mir, so they didn't have room in the dorm, so I'd rent his basement apartment from him. And he was a very kind person. They would give out bread to hundreds of people from all over Brooklyn that come to his house, and he would take the old bread from the bakeries, and three times a week they'd give out bread for free and other foods. So he once told me that when he was a child in Europe, the Rebbe in the Cheder told him the following Dvar Torah, which pertains to our chapter here in Tehillim. Said David HaMelech laments over here. He says, "Ein osei tov, there are none who do good. Ein gam echad, there isn't even one." Well, he just said there aren't any do-gooders there. There's no one there who does good. Obviously, there isn't even one. What's David HaMelech talking about? He said, when we look at a herd of oxen, we see 10, 20 oxen. They're all very powerful. Each one could single-handedly take apart the shepherd. And yet, one shepherd could lead 20. Why can one shepherd lead 20? called the herd instinct. Each ox thinks, well, it's good for the next guy, it's good for me. If they're all going in line, I'll go in line. Why not? That's good for animals. But God expects something different from man. Jewish history is filled with people, single people, who single-handedly changed our history. Most of the people were in servitude, were serving idols, were bowing to the Egyptians. There was one who stood up and killed an Egyptian that beat his fellow man. There was one Moshe Rabbeinu, and he changed the tide. Everyone else went to partake of Achashverosh's party. We're standing in exile after the destruction of the first temple, and the Persian king Achashverosh makes a party where he's serving from the vessels of the temple, and everyone's partaking of that party. There's one person who does not partake of the party. One man, one Jew in the capital of Shushan, his name is Mordechai, and he changes the tide. He could change everything. Everyone sees that the second temple has been destroyed, and the Jews are being exiled, and our oral tradition is being forgotten. And one man stands up and says, "Et lasot l'shem, the time has come to change things. We have to write down the oral law. We have to write down the Mishnah." One man, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, changed the course of history. One man, Rabbi Yochanan, went out and told Vespasian. He said to Caesar, "You're going to be the Caesar. You're going to be the leader if you're going to destroy the temple." Jewish history is filled with single people who saw what was going on and did not continue with the herd instinct. They said, something different has to happen here, and they themselves led to something different happening. One person. We don't expect everyone to be that one person. Bimkom shein anashim, you look around, there's no one else. Ishtadel yotish. Person should try to be the man. Be a man. Stand up. Even though everyone else is doing what's wrong, you do not do what's wrong. That's what being a man is all about. Yeah.
There is a concept. In practice, I'm not saying how much is that an idea of this. An individual, isn't that someone said that we should try to stay away from positions of power?
That's something else. No one's talking about power now. We're talking about doing what's right. And when one sees that everyone else is doing what's wrong, having the courage to stand up and doing what's right. And what David HaMelech is lamenting over here, he's saying, "Eno seitov, there are none that are doing good." I can understand that the general population, the Nebuchadnezzar's men, they're all partaking of this destruction. But there isn't even one, En Gam Echad, there isn't even one that stands up. The Jewish people aren't living up to what they should do, but we need the one. We need the one who will turn the tide. Throughout our history, all it took was one. The Maccabees began with one man, Matityahu, having an idea, "No, we cannot continue this way." According to one medrash, it wasn't even Matityahu. It was his daughter who was being taken to the leader over there. The decree was that every virgin was taken to him before she could go with her husband. And en route, she unrobed. So her brothers, who were pious men, they said, "How could you do this? This isn't modest. This isn't pious. How could you behave this way?" And she said, "And what you're doing is pious? You're bringing me to him? This is modest? I have to be with him?" So she shocked them. And when she did that, they all said, "Wait a second, she's right. Why are we living with this? We shouldn't put up with this. We should be giving up our lives and not doing this." And that's when the Maccabees started, according to one version of history. So it takes one. Sometimes it could be one man, sometimes it could be one woman. In our parsha, we saw the women. We saw Miriam and Yocheved. We saw Miriam, the one person who stood up. Takes one, and every person has the responsibility to be that one, and that's what David HaMelech is lamenting. When there are no do-gooders, but there isn't even one. And this, Rav Chovitz told me, when he was a little boy in Cheder, the Rebbe told him. So he shared it with me, and I'm sharing it with you.